Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Little Swatara on this Christmas Sunday. We want to welcome our listening audience as well this morning. It's an enjoyable day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. We just want to give you a few announcements this morning. Today is the day for caroling. If you are interested in caroling, there's two fleets of caroling, one leaving at 1 o'clock today, I believe, and there's another one at 6 o'clock. So we're going to be spreading the Christmas joy through song. So meeting at the cafe at 6 o'clock, and at 1 o'clock we're meeting at the cafe or the church. We're meeting at the church at 1 o'clock. So 1 o'clock, if you want to go caroling earlier on, we would love to have you both times, but either one that works for you, let's spread the Christmas joy this morning. And do you have another announcement in relation to that? Yes. Awesome. Awesome. All right. So it's always fun to carol. Even if you can't sing, you make a joyful sound like I do. And it's just amazing to be able to be with our shut-ins and with those in the community of Bethel. So 1 o'clock here, 6 o'clock at the cafe. And then on the 24th, it's our Christmas Eve program. It's at 7 o'clock. It's the ABCs of Christmas. We would love to have you, your neighbors, and friends just join us for just a wonderful time. We'll be sharing a candlelight, a communion, lots of songs, and just enjoying the presence of God who is here with us this morning. We do want to highlight that we are still looking for someone to plow snow. Believe it or not, the temperatures are getting a bit colder, so we may have to plow snow at some point. So see John High if you're interested in, you have a plow vehicle and would be willing to help out with the parking lot this winter. So it is definitely on its way. But we just want to wish you a Merry Christmas this morning and invite you to just rise and greet one another, and we'll be brought into this Christmas season with a selection by the choir. Hello, glory to God. Amen. Jesus indeed is born. We invite Linda Ziegler this morning for the fourth Sunday of Advent in our reading and response.
I've invited Malachi Chris to help me with the lighting of the candle. In Micah 5, we read, "Like a shepherd taking care of his sheep, this ruler will lead and care for his people by the power and glorious name of the Lord his God. His people will live securely, and the whole earth will know his true greatness, because he will bring peace." Let us join together in the Litany for Peace. The nations rage and the peoples plot. He will bring peace. The lion destroys the lamb. He will bring peace. The kings and rulers of the earth take counsel together for war. He will bring peace. The bear tears apart the unprotected, and the children live in fear. He will bring peace. The judges and the attorneys create endless conflict without resolution. He will bring peace. The wolf deceives and the slaughters the kid. He will bring peace. O Bethlehem, from you shall come one who will care for his flock and bring peace to the ends of the earth. Nation will not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the calf and the lion together. They will not hurt or destroy one another, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and peace shall reign over the globe as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Thank you.
Such wonderful news this morning to celebrate that our Savior has been born. And we invite you during this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have. It is always a privilege week in and week out to lift up those prayers to a God we know hears them and acts accordingly. And so we wait patiently upon the Lord, as many of us have been in prayer about certain things, and just knowing that God is in our midst and will respond. And so we thank our God for hearing our prayers. There'll be a microphone coming around so everyone can hear your prayer requests, and we just patiently ask you to wait for that. While you're raising your hands, there are some of these beautiful ornaments with a wise men still seek him. Merry Christmas from Little Swatara Preschool students, and you'll find those in your pews. Feel free to take those with. I see they even put a string on there. You can hang them for your tree this week, and that's just a special gift to the congregation from the Little Swatara Preschool. Amen. Yes. Yes. Let us not forget those that aren't able to make it here on any given Sunday, and shower them with cards, shower them with visits. Indeed. Thank you, Burl, for your hard work. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, words just aren't adequate to thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we know that he was born on Christmas and we celebrate his birth. But Lord, we also know that it didn't end there. We know that he traveled through life. He went through many of the similar scenarios that we've experienced. He was fully human and fully God. And how thankful we are that he can identify with the despair, the hurt, the suffering that we go through. But Father, we don't take for granted that he went to the cross. And even though today we celebrate his birth, we know that it's at the cross we were given forgiveness. And so, Father, we pray this morning our hearts would be in tune with your Son's, that we would strive to be Christ-like in all that we do. And we know that there are many in this world that are still searching, still wondering, still doubting if you exist. And we're just praying, Lord, that your peace would be still in all of their lives, and that your hope would go forth and your joy and your love would be made known. And so this morning, Father, we just come to you with very specific prayer concerns. We think today of our Nigerian brothers and sisters. We think of the refugee crisis in Europe. We thank you, Lord, for Pete and Carol and the healing touch that you have placed upon them. But Lord, we pray your continued touch upon them. And Michael, our dear friend this morning, we pray your guidance in his life and your healing upon him. We thank you for Joyce, and she longs to be with us, but Lord, we pray for her rehabilitation. And we think of Carol and Bonnie, and we think of Jen and Roberta and James, and ask your healing to take place in their lives. For we know, God, that when you rose from the dead, you conquered death and you conquered sin, and we can be free. And so we're thanking you, Lord, that we can too be free from illnesses, for your power too goes out in those instances where we suffer. And so, Father, we're just praying that your healing touch, your power, would be extended to those that could use that extra dose of healing this morning. And we thank you for Angie and for Matthias and for Martha and the recovery that she's experienced, and for Leonard and his recovery. And we continue to pray for Jess and the family and friends of Sarah and her loss. We think of Gene Smith this morning, Lord, and we rejoice with John, him being able to come home. But, Father, we know the road to recovery can be longer than anticipated. And we're just placing our lives, whatever we're going through right now, Lord, you identify with. And we just turn to you in this moment. It's a joyous time of the year, but for many, Lord, we know that it's a time of feeling alone and grieving the loss of loved ones. We know it's a time that we recall items from the past that creep up during Christmas as we gather with families. But Lord, we're placing all that into your loving arms, knowing that you guide, you direct us, and that you love us more than we can ever begin to conceive or imagine. So this Christmas, Lord, we celebrate you, the reason for this season. But we too gather in your name and celebrate with giving each other gifts and just asking, Lord, those gifts would be a blessing. They would bring glory to you, to one another. And we thank you, Lord, for the many cards that have gone out to shut-ins and to one another, and just pray those cards would speak life into us. They have such meaning in them. And the people that have sent them, Lord, thank you for each one and pray your blessings upon them. We think, Lord, today of our caroling and those that we'll be caroling to. Lord, they may know you, may not know you. And we're praying, Lord, that through song, we know how powerful songs can be, and pray that your message would be clear through our caroling as we go throughout the day doing so. We thank you, God, for each one here this morning. We know many that wish they could be here and are not able to. And we just pray your presence, because we know that it's not about the Christmas presents we receive, but it's about the presence of your Son Jesus in our lives. And we pray that you would guide us and you would lead us in all things. And we pray during these next few moments, the prayers on our hearts and also the prayers asking for forgiveness for those things that we have sinned against you. Hear our prayers. Father, we thank you that we can still seek you. We thank you that you want to be found. And once you're found, Lord, in our lives, we know that you want to be made known. And so we're praying, Father, that our heart's desire as we travel through the entire year, we would make you known to others by our love, by our forgiveness, by our willingness to be able to share out of the abundance that you have given us. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to show that love and shine that light in this world. We pray, Lord, against the enemy and his schemes, that he may try to demise those things that are happening in your name. And we pray that your love would go forth to our enemies as well. And we just thank you for this Christmas season and the reason that we can celebrate because of your Son's birth. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Please rise. 191.
Thank you.
As our offering thought this morning, we read from our worship resources in our hymnal. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, who destined us for adoption, who forgave us our trespasses, who made known the mystery of the divine will, who marked us with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God's name." And as we give this morning, may it be out of that heart of love for one another and that joy of spreading salvation and that news to others. Let's pray. Father, we know this time of year our pocketbooks have been stretched. We've been spending money on gifts and we're thankful to do so. But Lord, this morning we come with our hearts open to give to you this morning, to receive our offerings, Lord. For we know, Lord, that through these offerings we share the news of this Christmas season, the joy of salvation. And we know, Father, that you use us and the money that you have bestowed upon us to do so. So thank you, Lord, for the cheerful giver. Thank you for those that are able to go above and beyond and bless this congregation and this community and this world. We thank you for the Church of the Brethren and the peace stance that they have and the difference that they make in this world. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Children, to join me up front.
What do you like best about Christmas?
I like
building snowmen. Presents?
I like getting presents.
You like getting presents?
I like when our family gathers around.
When your family gathers around? Perhaps it's the Christmas dinner. Do any of you guys like the Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
For many people, the best thing about Christmas is the presents, both the ones we give and the ones we receive, especially the ones we receive, right? Yeah. Can you think of anything else we left out? No? What about Jesus? Whose birthday is it supposed to be?
Jesus!
That's right. It's Jesus's birthday. You know, sometimes we also get so caught up in everything else going around Christmas that we forget all about Jesus. And we think about all the decorations, the lights, the presents, the gifts, the food, and we forget about Jesus. That reminds me of a story I heard once about a little boy who always wanted to go to the circus. One day, he was walking down the street and he saw a poster in a store window. The poster said that the circus is coming to town. The poster, and that the ticket was $1. The boy ran home and asked his father for $1 to go to the circus next Saturday. His father told him that if he worked extra hard and got all of his chores done, his father would give him $1. On Saturday morning, he did all of his chores, and then he ran to his father and said, "Daddy, Daddy, I got all my chores done." His father presented him $1. He was so excited, he ran down to the town. And he's so excited to see all the wild animals, the trapeze artists, and all the other exciting things that come with the circus. Since he arrived in town so early, he got the best seat in the house, front row. The boy was thrilled that when all the animals and all the other circus paraded down by. At the end of the parade came the clowns, followed by the ringmaster. When the ringmaster passed by where he was standing, the boy ran out into the street and took his folded dollar out of his pocket and handed it to the ringmaster. "Thanks, mister," said the boy. "That was a great circus." Then he turned around and walked home. He never knew what he had missed. He missed the circus. That was only the parade. If we're not careful, we can be like that little boy. We can get so caught up in all the celebrations, the gifts, the decorations, that we miss the real Christmas, the birthday of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, it's your birthday. We pray that we don't get so caught up in the celebration that we miss the real reason for Christmas. Amen. Now, before you guys go back to your seat, I have a little gift for you guys. It's a crane. It represents peace. How
do they work?
Tell you what, Gary.
Watch her.
If you hold on to the front of
him upon the midnight clear.
I'd invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and there's power in reading the word together. So this is the birth of Jesus, and we'll be starting in verse 1, traveling through to verse 20. Let us begin reading about the greatest gift given on Christmas. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it has the ability to change everything about our lives. But Father, we recognize that it is a gift, and you have given us a choice. So Father, as we listen to this scripture unfold, we pray that you would speak to our minds and our hearts, and you would open them, and that your Spirit would enter in, and that we would be changed forever because of the birth of this Christ child. Amen and amen. When we read about the birth of Jesus, it's important for us to understand the history behind the Christmas story. The census was ordered by Caesar Augustus. It was the first of its kind. And here's why it was done. The Roman government wanted to make sure that everyone in the empire was paying their taxes correctly. The census was carried out all over the empire, most of Europe, but in Palestine, it was carried out, now listen carefully, in a Jewish way, not in a Roman way. This meant that families had to register in their historical tribal town rather than where they were currently living. This meant that Joseph and the very, very pregnant Mary would have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, as this was the town that Joseph's family, remember the royal line of David, originally came from. Now, this was no short trek. This was a span of 70 miles. Some sources say that they had a donkey upon which Mary was traveling. But we cannot confirm that in any certain way. So imagine being very pregnant and walking 3 days, mind you, that travel took to this town. No simple task. It might have been good for the family to go to Bethlehem, as no one there perhaps knew them. So people would not have talked about the fact that they were not married. It's possible that Joseph had distant relations in Bethlehem, but they still wouldn't have known Mary and Joseph all that well. If it had not taken them 3 days, they may have arrived earlier in the day rather than what they say is in the evening. So it's far more likely they would have found somewhere to stay. In those times, there really weren't such things as motels or, as the scripture says, inns. You normally would have stayed with some type of extended family or relation. So as we look at that word inn, it would be more accurately translated as a guest room. Being such a busy time with the census being taken, these guest rooms were already full. Now, something of interest we don't often consider is that most houses would have been shared with the animals that the family kept. Houses, we know, had two levels: the upper mezzanine level where people slept, and then the ground floor where the animals slept at night and the family would live during the day. The animals, if you will, were kind of like central heating at night, helping keep the house warm. The guest room, then, would often be an area on the upper mezzanine level, or even a hut on the roof of the house. No worries, these houses had flat roofs. Another point of interest is that many people think that Jesus was probably born in September or October during the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles rather than during December. And here's why. During the festival, Jews live outside in temporary shelters. The word tabernacle comes from a Latin word meaning booth or hut. So Joseph and Mary probably had to sleep on the lower level with the animals, where it's common to have a manger that was cut into a wall where you would put the animal food. Now, the second possibility, which we're most familiar with, is they were out in a stable, a cave, or even a covered market stall that sold animals. These stalls would have been rented during these various tabernacles. It was custom in those times to wrap a newborn baby very tightly in long bandages called swaddling cloths. The arms and the legs of the baby were also wrapped so tight that they couldn't move. Picture that scene from the movie where the child is in a full snowsuit and can't move, and you get the picture. Now, this was done because they thought that it helped the baby to grow strong, straight limbs. And since no crib was available, this new baby boy was placed in this manger, or what we would refer to as a feeding trough. This had to have been an amazing scene, but was exactly how the angels described things to the shepherds on the hills surrounding Bethlehem. Yet another fact to consider is that the birth of Jesus probably didn't happen in the year 0 AD, but slightly earlier, in about 5, 6, or 7 BC. The dates that we use now are said to have been set by monks and religious leaders in the Middle Ages and before. This helps us to confirm the idea that it was likely the autumn that Jesus was actually born, not in those winter months. As hard to conceive with the current winter temperatures, it can actually get very cold in the winter in Israel. And it's thought that the census would have most likely taken place during the spring or autumn months. This was a perfect time when many pilgrims from all over the country came to visit Jerusalem. We also have to realize, during the winter, it's less likely that the shepherds would have been keeping sheep out on the hills, as those hills can get quite a lot of snow during winter. Again, hard to imagine with the winter we're currently having. So that, my friends, is the history behind the birth of Jesus. But why is this day unlike any other? Couldn't we just be forgiven with Jesus being able to stay home for Christmas in heaven with his Father? Is this baby being born really what matters for receiving the kingdom of heaven? Couldn't there have been any other way? Friends, here's what we need to know. The humanity of Jesus is essential to the character of Jesus as the Christ. In 2 John 1:7, it specifically states that those who deny the humanity of Jesus are false teachers. It reads, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world." Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. It's most important. It's critical to settle in our minds that Jesus is God in the flesh. 1 John 4:1-3 further instructs us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." Failing to accept Jesus as fully human and fully God misses the true meaning of Christmas. The humanity of Jesus is critical because prophecy requires a physical birth. The messianic prophecy of Isaiah 9:6 has said a child is born. Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Friends, what we have happening here is that the Son of God has entered the world fully human, in order to experience the struggles of humanity. Mind blown. Without this, Jesus could not have been tempted as we are, nor could he have experienced human sadness, suffering, or pain. But even more important this Christmas, the reason Jesus had to be fully human was that he had to die for the sins of humanity on the cross. If he did not have flesh and blood, then he could not shed blood, meaning there's no possible way he could die. The joy of celebrating his birth points from that cradle to the cross. Without the death of Christ, there is no sacrifice for sins. And we, my friends, remain without forgiveness. To say that God had a plan for his people to save them from their sins is the understatement of the entire history of the universe. But I'm afraid, at times, we get so caught up in giving gifts, in the holiday parties, the decorating of the house and the tree, the delivery of those cards, that we become distracted. Don't get me wrong, these are all wonderful, wonderful things, and it warms our hearts to give and to receive. But keep in mind, any time the enemy can take a foothold using what the culture expresses a holiday to be, especially when it's in relation to Christ, he will do all that he can to keep us from the real meaning of Christmas and Christ's birth. Now, while the birth of Christ leads to his death on a cross, it does not end there. Our forgiveness is made a reality by the fact of his resurrection. There's a physical birth, a physical death, and Jesus physically rises from the dead. If he was not born and we did not celebrate Christmas, if he had not died, then he certainly could not have resurrected. This teaching is essential to the Christian faith. Paul stated it in the strongest of terms. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So here's what's at stake. The birth of Christ is crucial for the story of redemption to unfold. Those who deny the humanity of Christ reject an essential doctrine of the Bible. A belief that Jesus was some type of spiritual being or that he only had the appearance of physicality negates the reality of his death and makes salvation impossible. Christmas, then, becomes a celebration of the scripture proclaiming that Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of man. It begins to make sense that we can have peace amidst the rising terror among our nations. Jesus Christ is and always will be the hope of our salvation. He is our full and complete joy. He is the unending love that fills every single void in our lives. He is, he was, and he is yet to come. So this Christmas, celebrate the very fact that we have not been forgotten. A Redeemer has entered the world through his Father's giving of his Son's birth. God is with us. Glory and power to his most holy name. You see, this birth changes everything. And it's the greatest gift ever given. Now, perhaps you're here today and you've never received that gift. You're still searching. You're still questioning. You're full of doubt. Jesus is here. His Spirit is among us. He accepts us while we are still yet pondering. I'd invite us to close our eyes and to bow our heads. And if you're walking through this life alone and wondering if there's more to this life, be filled with hope. Jesus came to save us from our sins, our wrongdoings, and to offer us help through his Holy Spirit. Maybe life has you tangled in a web, and you don't know which way to turn to get out of the mess. Jesus tears down the walls of adversity and brings peace. With his birth, we celebrate love. We rejoice in new life. For the first time, or perhaps for reasons known only to you and to God, you desire to get back on track with him. I invite you to repeat this prayer with me. Father, I need you. I've been going through life alone, and I need your help. This Christmas, I want to know true joy. I want to experience freedom from my past and my present circumstance. I want to accept the peace that you offer through your birth and death and resurrection. I give myself to you in total surrender. I believe you are the Messiah, the only one who can save me from my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I now walk in new life. I thank you, Father, for the gift of love and the gift of forgiveness. Amen. Perhaps you've said this prayer for the first time. Welcome to the family of God. There are angels rejoicing. Perhaps you've said this prayer for the second, third, fourth, fifth time over your lifetime, and you're recommitting your life to Christ. May this Christmas be the difference that you continue for the rest of your days living for him. This birth means everything. It is the greatest gift that has ever been given. Let us receive it with our closing hymn.
Hymn number 201, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Let us forever be reminded that the birth of Jesus gives us an entirely new worth upon our lives, that he was willing to be born fully human, fully God, and come in our midst. And we celebrate that very fact, that he has traversed through this land, going through the same pain, the same difficulties that we go through. And we know that we can enjoy his presence this Christmas, that he has made all the difference. Amen.